Back on Downtown, 15 to go till the top of the hour, and it's time for this week's Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in Bangor, right between Brahma Grill and Fiddlehead Restaurant. Eric Meehan joins us in studio. Good day, Mr. Meehan.
Good day! Oh, my
God. Welcome, mate.
I was debating whether or not to do that for a full 10 seconds.
I like that.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm glad you did.
I was kind of ruminating. So today we're talking about Australia. I was trying to ruminate about everything I know about Australia.
It's Crocodile Dundee.
And Crocodile Dundee, too. In fact, more so number two because it actually took place.
And because I'm a little older, Olivia Newton-John.
Well, there you go. And then Yahoo Sirius, of course.
Wow. Wow.
And then Yellowtail. We're not talking about Yellowtail. Actually, we are going to talk a little bit about Yellowtail today, but we're going to talk about Australia today. As I mentioned last week, we were trying to decide between New Zealand and Australia, and Australia won.
And we forgot Men at Work.
Ah, dun, 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 dun. Actually, my band covers Land Down Under occasionally.
Really?
It's kind of funny. Actually, what's very odd is NPR has like this little like free jazz version of Land Down Under that they play in between spots. Not that I listen to NPR. I only listen to you.
Of course.
But it's beautiful.
Yeah, Colin Hay, if you're a fan of Men at Work, his stuff, his solo stuff is amazing.
That's actually true.
Yeah,
it's
amazingly
it's
good.
Very beautiful, and he's a very good fingerstyle guitarist. But we're talking about wine today,
which
inspires fingerstyle guitar.
Mm-hmm.
So Australia, I'm sure everybody out there has had Australian wine in the form of some sort of bottle with an animal on it. And it doesn't have to be a kangaroo. Sometimes it's two kangaroos, or sometimes it's a kangaroo and a joey, but it's usually something along those lines. I haven't seen a lot of like anything else, really. No Tasmanian devils or anything fun. But Australian wine got its start from the country that we were in last week, which was South Africa. So the first vine clippings were brought over to Australia from the Cape of Good Hope in the late 1700s. And brought over because, of course, all the penal colonies that were in Australia, those guys were Brits who loved their wine just as much as anybody else, and Dutch as well. And so the same way that the viticulture started in South Africa, it moved over to Australia thusly. And it is currently the world's fourth largest exporter of wine. Only about 40% of the wine that they make there is consumed domestically, which is actually a pretty low number for major wine producing countries. And it's every state, and Australia is divided into states, has wine production, but the majority of it is located in the southern part of the country, and most specifically, especially the better areas in and around the city of Adelaide. So if you imagine Australia's, I tried to figure out, what it kind of looks like a fava bean or something like that, turned on its side with its belly facing south.
Then we would need a nice Chianti.
Then we need a nice Chianti. And in that kind of belly button area, that's where you find the better regions. But most of Southeast Australia especially makes wine. And in the warmer regions, they tend to make more bulk production wines. And in and this shouldn't surprise anyone who's a frequent listener of this, the better wines are made in areas that have cooling effects, most specifically from the south. That cool air blows into some of these valleys and makes very, very ideal ripening conditions for good wines. And Europeans have long known this. There's a famous history of Europeans trying these wines throughout the 1800s specifically, and saying, oh, these are wonderful, and you know, being told they're Australian. They say, no, they must be French. And they weren't. And the French kind of continued to do that up until 1976 when they said the same thing about California wines, if you recall. But Australia never really established itself big time on the export market. Certainly when the world's wine economy and interest crashed due to the phylloxera epidemic, that had a bad effect. But also, Australia has a problem with glut. And they plant a lot, and they have a lot of good soil for it, and they get all really, really happy about it, and then they end up with way too much, and they end up with too little of the other agricultural products that they need. And so, indeed, in the 1980s, the government actually paid people to rip out vines in favor of other things. And then, of course, there was the big wine boom that started happening in the 1990s in America when Americans started drinking more and importing more, rather. And so you saw, again, the rise of wineries like Penfolds, which was very good, and Rosemont. And then, interestingly enough, how long do you think Yellowtail's been around?
You think 25 years?
Yeah. It first appeared on the scene in the early 2000s, which is funny because I started in this business in 2000 in kind of a Joe job or whatever, and it occurs to me I didn't start stocking Yellowtail until a couple of years in, which is incredible because the speed with which it dominated the market was unbelievable. But yet again, Australia overinvested in its wine. They took a lot of area that needed irrigation to grow wines. They irrigated everything, and all of a sudden in 2004, there's another call for people being paid to rip out their vines. So they really have a problem with overproduction and you know, kind of not self-limiting. But since the 2004-2005 overproduction problem, you've seen a wave of new winemakers that are really, really exciting and interested in dry farming, organic and biodynamic processes, but dry farming especially, and things that will, you know, make the vines struggle, which in turn makes better vines, at least for, you know, the better grapes because they're more concentrated and delicious. The wine we're trying today is made by really an old stalwart of the wine scene in Australia, a guy named John Duval. This is his Plexus. Plexus is a very classic Australian style blend of Grenache, Syrah, and Mourvèdre, or as they call it, Shiraz. So GSM, and it's obviously, you've heard about Grenache, Syrah, and Mourvèdre together in the southern Rhone Valley and in the southern part of France and indeed into Spain. So it's a very classic European-style blend, but in Australia it does tend to have a little bit more muscle. John Duval made his bones. He was born into a farming family in north of Adelaide, where all the good wine is made. And in fact, his family sold vine clippings to the Penfolds Winery. He went to university in Adelaide, and in 1986, he became the chief winemaker of Penfolds. So if any of you have ever had Penfolds, if you've been lucky enough to have Penfolds Grange, which is their high-end, huge, award-winning wine that has stood against the great, you know, Bordeaux and wines of Europe, he made that for, you know, 30-some years. And they also make, you know, wonderful little entry-level wines, and we carry them as well. So this, in the early 2000s, he went on his own and started making wines, and they are all hugely rated and blah, 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 blah.
This is wonderful.
Gorgeous, gorgeous wine. So again,
getting a little chocolate in that?
Yeah, so that's the Mourvèdre, definitely. That gives you that sort of cocoa and chocolate. And the Grenache is that nice bold fruit, and the Shiraz is just beautiful spice. So it's really, really excellent. The wine sees 14 months in oak, only 10% of it new. So it's, you know, it's a real wine, and he makes really excellent wine. Now it's not inexpensive wine, but I definitely think it's worth every penny. So Australia, interesting, you know, get my humble advice is get back to it. If you can, you may have to pay a little bit more to get a solid wine from there that will truly tell you why Australia became famous in the first place. There's a lot of junk out there still, and obviously, and don't kill me, Yellowtail Mafia. They're powerful. Oh, they're very powerful. It's like, oof. You know, that's not real wine. So please escape.
That's
from
for
that.
Washing down your Vegemite sandwich.
Yeah. Oh gosh, my father-in-law likes Vegemite. He
really?
Actually keeps a jar of that around.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah, and he's a truly brilliant man. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe there's something to it. Maybe it makes it brilliant. I don't know. Anyway, so that's Australia. Next week, we visit New Zealand, and that should be very, very exciting. You know, very, very different wines from Australia. A lot of people tend to tie them together, but it's vastly different terroir and very, very pretty Burgundian style wines. I'm such a Francophile. Sorry. And then we'll do sort of the year in review, and
fabulous,
and we'll start it all over again.
And tomorrow, have your ugly sweater ready.
This is correct. Thank you for the prompt. So yes, wear your holiday finest to our tasting from 5 to 7 p.m. at Bangor Wine and Cheese tomorrow to make yourself eligible to win fabulous prizes. And also, we're going to be tasting, you know, like wines and beers and good stuff. So 5 to 7 p.m. tomorrow, Bangor Wine and Cheese. Love you all. See you next week.
Thanks, Eric.